I didn't want to interrupt the proceedings. There you go. And this talks about, I mean, it really, there's so many people I've met who are doing road trips now across the country because of the pass. It's really great. It's quite phenomenal. We've never seen this before.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it great?
Yeah, I love the coats at the beginning.
Sorry, yeah, they're a little bit sticky this morning. Oh, you've got your visitor guide already. Oh, yeah. I've been doing a few of these. So maybe I'll just leave the rest on the table. Is that good? And people can help themselves.
Thank you. We will now move on to 4.0, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to table today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call. We have no petitions for today. Number 5.0, public question comment session. Any member of the public gallery that would like to comment, please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes, please. Leon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. Carpenter Days, which is coming up on Sunday. The weather cooperated at this point, not fully, and Councilor Drake was here and had a lot to do with and so on. And I mentioned to him, and he prepared to give a very brief update on the success of the Frontier Days. That's his word, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, we'll deal with that later.
That's just an idea. We're also going to have to leave a bit early as well. The only thing is, on July 1st coming up, it appears from the computer and so on that most of the works are going to be taking place at Queen's Place.
On July 1st?
Yeah, July 1st. Yes,
that's correct.
Okay. And also, I understand, will be the opening of the shooting park.
Correct.
Yeah. And is that at 11:30?
11:30, yes.
11:30. And I'll mention something about 11:30 there. So that will take place there. So one last item. Will there be any, I know we have fireworks the other night, will there be any fireworks provided by the region on Friday?
CAO, would you have an answer to that question as to whether there will be fireworks on July 1st?
No.
Okay. The answer is no, not on July 1st.
Not on July 1st. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the public gallery would like to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bill Cox, 121 Bargo, White Point. Just one thing that seems to be a concern to me is the number of demolitions that have been taking place over the past few months. I haven't noticed very many changes in unsightly items coming before council, and I was just curious as to why all these demolitions. Are these requests from property owners? Are these items initiated by the region? I noticed there are a couple of blank spaces on Main Street and in Greece's, well, those were quite obvious, but I noticed there were 8 in this month's report, 6 in the previous month's report, and I forget what it was in the previous one, but that kind of took my interest at the time, but I didn't intend council to ask the question. I guess my question is, once precipitating these demolitions, we're looking at 20 plus in this period.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. The issue of dangerous and unsightly premises is a constant issue within the region of Queens. Our bylaw enforcement officer, Kellyanne Hurley, has interactions and discussions with most owners of the properties that are in trouble. And trouble that are either unsightly or dangerous. The two, which were recently demolished on Main Street, were properties that had over the years not been well maintained, had serious issues. In discussions with the property owners, they determined that they would demolish those buildings on their own expense, not the Region of Queens, and therefore, when an owner decides to apply for a demolition permit, it does not come before council. So that is a change from previous activity whereby the region is working with landowners to do that work at their expense rather than taxpayers' expense through the region. Any other member of the public gallery want to speak today? Thank you very much. We will now move on to 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council meeting minutes of June 13th, 2017. A motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Deputy Mayor McLeod, seconded by Councilor Mews. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We have nothing today under the under or on site here.
George, yes? I just make a quick comment. Just the fact that the flags are flying at half mast today in memory of Case Van Dyke, the past councillor and deputy warden that passed away last week.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. Under 8.0, economic development, I would ask Steve Burns to please come forward to the presentation desk. Steve is going to give us an events update.
Morning.
Morning.
Everyone ready to rock?
Yep.
Brian, you ready to rock again? Councillor Frelick? No, you're tired. Oh, tomorrow night. Hard to believe. Tomorrow night, Tom Cochran, Kevin Davison, Red Rider, they'll be in town and playing to a great crowd. And we have a solid crowd coming. Doors will open at 6:30. Bar will open at 6:30. Show will start at 8:30. Kevin will be on till near 9-ish, and then they'll do a quick turnaround. Kevin's playing solo, do a quick turnaround, and Tom Cochran will be on. Sort of like to get the question the other day, you know, what's the curfew? There is no curfew. Play all night. So he's very excited to be coming, and this is his only stop this year in Nova Scotia. So we got great presence in our coverage. We've been in the Yarmouth area in the Halifax area, and of course, we saturated southern Nova Scotia. So we've had great presence. So all stones were turned over to get folks to come. So get ready to rock and enjoy the show. Your favorite song and "Life Is a Highway," "No Regrets," all that jazz. So it's going to be a great evening. Hard to believe it's tomorrow. Detail day today. This Saturday, across region, Canada Day events will take place, Milton, Caledonia specifically, and Liverpool area. And to support that, beginning last week, there was a half-page ad in the Breaker. And this week, June 28th, tomorrow, there'll be a full page. It'll certainly point people in the right direction to queens.ca for further details and give people a little flavor for what might be going on. In Liverpool specific, at Queen's Place, the events will take place. So during the morning, about 11 o'clock, the lobby will open, and Acadia First Nations have a display there, and they're going to do some interactive stuff with the kids, and the hub will be open for food needs. And then about 11:30, the inside of the arena should be ready and open. So there will be inflatables during the day for the kids, and the Wildebeests will be in for a performance, two full-raised reptile shows, Atlantic Cirque performers, and then outside, you know, a real, should be a real fun time. The weather's looking decent, and so the opening of the Mersey Skate Park will take place around 11:30. So of course we have some folks speaking and presenting, and the ribbon will be cut. And the special guest coming is Jesse Walker from Homegrown Skateboards in La Have, and he's one of those high-profile boarders in the province. And he's going to bring some fellas and gals with him. And they're going to interact for the day with the adults who love to board. Any of you guys going to be boarding? No? And the kids, that they're bring your scooter. There you go. Bring your scooter, and everyone should have a great time. It's an unscripted day, and it's sort of free-for-all, and that's the way boarders like it. So, you know, next few days, you know, here in the wind of the privateer days, we have another 4 or 5 action-packed days coming up. So, super. Hope to see you there. Let's get her done.
Thank you, Steve. Any
okay.
Questions or comments or questions? Excellent.
Always be all singing.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that very much.
See it.
So I'm wondering, Councilor Frelich, would you like to give us a very brief update on Privateer Day activity? There will be a report coming later at the next meeting, but a very quick report if you can. I know it's quickly after the Privateer Day event. Any comments you have?
Well, other than I don't do very brief, but I will give you an update. I think this, by all accounts, was one of our best weekends, despite a little bit of rain that kept threatening. It held up during the parade. We had capacity crowds all weekend, and what we really learned is that people are coming out, and regardless of the rain, they're there for little orbits. French fries. And they want to hear music. So Saturday, despite it all, we had record crowds. Saturday night we were at full capacity in the entertainment tent, and that went until 2 o'clock. Sunday, crowds that we've never seen before with the multicultural, and to walk the length of the park, there were people from the BIC over to the very end where Darren Hudson was performing. And it was an amazing weekend. We had a lot of Nova Scotia tourism through economic development were there filming on Sunday. We had Dashboard Living bloggers that were creating 4 new videos for Privateer Days in the area. We had our own photographers on site, so a lot has been documented. And a very, very successful weekend.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Deputy Mayor Cloud.
I had a comment to that. I was on site most of the weekend as well, and had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people from out of the area, people from Ontario, people from Newfoundland. They stopped by and they said, this is amazing, the size of the festival for such a small community. And they were overwhelmed with the event. It's really good to hear that.
The other part that I wanted to mention as well is that in that presentation we talked about partnerships. The partnership with the multicultural, the partnership with the museum, the partnerships with everybody that Darren Hudson, all very unique partnerships, but they all work together. So, as I said before, I think that's the key to any festival or event is that creating new partnerships that you seem unlikely at the time are really what the future is all about. So. Any time that comes before us, we should really keep an open mind about partnerships because people were coming for various reasons, but once they got there, you introduced them to history, and you introduced them, and Brittany did the graveyard tour, and there were people there that came for the Lumberjack Show that may not have ever gone to a graveyard tour. So it was just a really amazing mixture of people all sitting around and visually beautiful. So. And thanks to a lot of the councillors that Jack had his road race there, and Gil was on site with Queen's Care, and Susan was there all weekend with the crafters, and Heather was in the dunk tank 50 times.
And the downtown merchants
on Friday, which unfortunately got rained out, but it was still a great
still
response.
Still okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thanks to everybody.
Excellent. Thank you for the update. Next meeting we'll have a little bit more detailed aspect report on that. Moving on now to 8.2, Rural Internet Strategy Planning, a recommendation. Jill, if you'd like to come forward. And Councilor Fisk, would you like to take the lead on this?
recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the procurement of consulting advice to further the development of broadband internet strategy. Funding up to $5,000 will come from the Regional Economic Development Budget line.
I second for that. Councilman Hughes. Jill, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. So as you know, rural internet has been on our radar screen for some years now as a priority and continues to be a priority for this council. So going forward with it, we need to get a better understanding of what the actual needs are in Queens and our strategy for getting towards fulfilling those needs and installations. And what we want to do is have a plan in place so that as funding becomes available, we are ready to take advantage of it because we know the solutions that are ideal for our community. So this is a lower cost item, but it will set the path for us going forward for future development.
Thank you. Any questions or comments of councillors? Councillor Kelly.
So what will our consultant tell us about? From what I've heard so far, we've been very good at understanding what our needs are and getting money for those for Greenfield and for Caledonia. So what would be the key things that the consultant would actually provide us with? Knowledge.
Well, I think we are very lucky to have Richard Lane, who has expertise in this field already, and certainly he will work with the consultant and inform him on what we already know and what the gaps are. But I think this is going to take a more of an umbrella view. It may go across Lunenburg County as well, and so give us the economy of scale that if something's being done, it will benefit as many people as possible and link with what's happening elsewhere. So it's going to be more of a consolidated.
So is this for the broader picture then, because those were two projects, one for Greenfield and that was most vulnerable areas and for North Queens,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking about fixing this all the way from Eastport Medway all the way across the rural areas to Caledonia and fixing, having everybody assess. Is that the key? The end is having every single person have access to internet.
Well, that would be the ideal scenario. I don't know that we can make those promises, but certainly the projects that we've got going at the moment with Greenfield and Caledonia are helping, but we're looking to do those last mile solutions for other folks beyond that.
Yeah.
And take it out as broad as we can, because there's still people out there who aren't going to have it even after these two projects. So it's really sort of setting us the roadmap now. From that, there will have to be priorities drawn as to, you know, what we do first and, you know, what's most important to fulfill.
Okay.
Any other councillor? Councillor Dancy?
Yep. Jill, again, I always say when we spend money, I always like to be, you know, always transparent what we're doing. Are we looking at, because we're having problems in either area of this, or is this for the last mile to be able to, because I guess I always ask the question, why do we need to consult? Does it have to?
Yeah, I think it just adds value to what we can do ourselves, and it would give us the necessary documentation that would prove to a funder that we've done the strategy, we have it all laid out and what's needed, and quite often that's what they look for before they'll give you the funding.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Jill, I'm glad you stated that, because that was on my mind as well. I know that you're always doing these studies, but it's a requirement for funding agencies or funding providers
mm-hmm.
to have that, unfortunately, because we have qualified staff that could certainly give probably just as much or three quarters of the information that's required, but I know it's something that you have to do in order to go further with this. Thank you for saying that.
Councilor Johnson?
In my only comment is I'm just hoping that this consultant, we surveyed it, I think, to pieces, you know. Another survey is going to be a revolution, I would think. But this consultant is just going to come back and reframe what we already know and put it in a strategy format. Is that it? Or are we going to go back out and look at the market and the needs again?
Well, I think it's going to look at, you know, all kinds of things, including sort of local facilities that might be able to act as you know, stations to broadcast out internet into rural areas, whether it be a community hall or, you know, just pick out those places that can be used. It'll map the whole thing out, which, you know, a lot of it we have in our heads, but we haven't actually got it down as a strategy.
Okay, it's not operationalizing it.
Yeah.
Other than going back and asking again, what do you need?
No, that's right. Okay. I think it's new work. Yeah.
Good.
It's adding value to what we've already got.
Deputy Mayor McBride?
Jill, I know the strategy is the roadmap and the way to get to point A to point B with certain projects, but in this strategy, so to speak, is there an opportunity to decide or to determine what would be the best mode of the internet, whether it be fiber, whether it be over the air, whether it be all these technical things? Is that involved in this as well?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Because that's
and
very important because
yeah.
of our geographic location, it's not always possible to have one point
right.
of distribution.
And, yeah, and where possible, we want to future-proof it as well if we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have nothing today under corporate services 9.0 and nothing today under 10.0 engineering and works. Nothing today under 11.0 finance. Nothing under 12.0 recreation and community facilities. Under planning 13.0. We have 13.1, rezone 137 West Street from general residential R2 to institutional I-1 recommendation. Councilor Cloud is at the presentation desk. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead on this?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to rezone PID number 7007-1725 from general residential R2 to institutional I-1, and that a public hearing be held on July 25th, 2017 in the council chambers of the municipal building 249 White Point Road in Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 8:45 a.m.
Seconded. Councilor Fisk. Mike, would you like to update us on this issue?
Yep, as a little background, I think as you're all aware, the Canoe and Camera Club has been operating essentially without a home for the last couple of years with the new bridge that was constructed in Milton. They're currently operating across from the Morton House on trunk number 8. So over the last couple of years, they've been looking at a number of options as far as a new home for base of their operation. And one of those options is discussions that the club has had with the property owner at 137 West Street in Milton. The property currently has a vacant mobile home on it. It's been vacant for some time, so the property owner is looking at potentially selling the property, so the club is potentially interested in the site. The property is currently zoned as general residential R2 under the land use bylaw, and to allow consideration of the club to operate from that location, rezoning to institutional I-1 would be required. The municipal planning strategy allows council to consider expansion or creation of new institutional uses within a residentially designated area by way of a rezoning. So so the request has come forward to look at rezoning that, and if council approves the rezoning, then it's the club's intention to proceed with acquiring the property and to create a new base for their operations.
Thank you, Mike. Any councillors have any questions or comments? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, this one here has been going on for, you know, since the new bridge has come in, but it's actually gone on longer than that because they've been working out of the Morton House ship launch, or whatever you want to call it down there. Mm. And that's been only just always been a temporary thing, so they always had to work. from their building and then have this over here, so they had two different places, and this here could have changed at any time that they couldn't be there. So this will finally give them a permanent home where they can do everything from, and they could be able to maybe do some other things more than what they were doing there. But I'm hoping to see some events and things go on there, which I think they're long-range forecasted for.
Other councilors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Emmons, thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Item 14-0. 14-1, Building Officials Monthly Report, May 2017. Any questions or comments or councilors on that report? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
It's nice to see the year-to-date figures from 2016 to 2016 from 2 million up to 9 million under the number of building permits and the total value of the building permits.
It is. Any other councilors? Okay, we will move on to 14-2, Bylaw Enforcement Officers Monthly Report, May 2017. Any comments or questions under that one? Hearing none, we will move on to 15-0 other. Under 15.1, we have Campus Symposium. Purple. Councilor Kelly, would you like to introduce us on that?
Oh, and the cannabis. Okay, so, I can't remember the date, but a month or so ago, we attended the UNSM symposium on cannabis legislation. And a brief update on it. Basically, there was a very broad panel of professionals to bring the issues forward for consideration. The effects are far-reaching, but the consensus was we have the knowledge and experience to get it right this time when legalizing previous illegal substances. Just to give you an overview, there was a lawyer on the panel, there was a member of the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, there was representatives from the health industry for IWK Prevention and Health Specialists, the Canadian Centre on Substance Use and Addiction, Departments of Justice, Health and Wellness, and Finance, and the Treasury Board, and the Mayor of Aspen, Colorado, that already has legalized marijuana use in Aspen. So basically, they're well represented of all different areas and how the legalization of cannabis could be affected. Basically, the facts are this. In April 2017, the federal legislation was presented. July 2018 is the anticipated legalization date. The provinces will decide legal age, enforcement tools, tax revenues, and distribution. The key thing people will start talking about is Bill C-45, which is the proposed Cannabis Act, and the Bill C-46, which is changing the criminal code respecting impairment of drug and alcohol. And both of those are will go through a first and second and third reading through the House of Commons and the Senate of Canada, and that's where the process will go to get us to next year, 2018. So that's kind of like the legality side of it. The minimum age was issued at 18. The maximum legal possession is 30 grams. That's from the federal legislation presented. Basically estimated over 4.8 million over the age of 15 will use cannabis in 2018. Marijuana is authorized, not prescribed, which was key. Currently, it's not a prescription. Doctors give authorization for medical use of marijuana. Marijuana will cease to become an illicit drug, which is important in our policies and going forward as to how we deal with marijuana for workplace use. There's no drug identification number for marijuana. So again, that's critical in how you deal with distribution of marijuana. So that was another key comment made. And the Canadian market is expected to be $5 to $7 billion in revenues across Canada. So the current regulation basically that exists now before anything changes is the Access to Cannabis for Medical Purposes Regulations, which regulate the production, distribution, and possession of cannabis for authorized medical purposes. That's what we deal with, that's what we're currently dealing with, and that's what could change based on the legalization next year. So from the health professional's point of view, there will be effects on health and residents of our community, the health and of the residents of our community and our residents. Basically, the message they are putting forth is that healthy people equals healthy economies, healthy economies equals healthy people. Revenue and jobs must be balanced with the impacts on the health and well-being of our communities. Create policies based on what we want for municipalities, on what we want our communities to look like in 5 years' time. What environment are we creating for our residents, and does it support them to live healthy and productive lives when we're thinking about legislation and how we produce our municipal policies and bylaws for legalization of cannabis? Municipal impacts could be nuisance such as vandalism, noise, litter, increasing policing and maintenance costs, tension and issues with landlords make residents feel unsafe and unwelcome and can be a deterrent to new residents and businesses. Careful consideration for marketing and advertising of this product for our youth and vulnerable sectors. Use our experience of the regulatory process of alcohol, tobacco, and gambling and experience of legalization in other countries, and look to the 2010 Municipal Alcohol Project as well. The MGA gives municipalities considerable scope to implement policies to help manage substances and associated harms within their boundaries. So that's the ability that we have as a municipality. And the health community is here to support municipalities, and that was one of their main messages that they wanted to get across. Just out of interest, the mayor of Aspen, Steve Skadron, he had a lot of questions put to him because obviously they're dealing with it, and people were very interested in how what that looked like in Aspen. It's a very different situation in Colorado, as each municipal government was able to decide if cannabis would be legal or not. So they're a little community within, well, quite a big community, but a small area within a number of other communities where it's illegal, but they're legal. So they're dealing with that, and it's going really well. It's been quite some time they've been doing it. They say communities can coexist with this situation. No appreciable increase in crime that they've noticed based on legalization of cannabis. Economic stimulus for small communities was evident in 2016, $411,000 back into local programs and services for Aspen, including schools, transportation, policing, and that sort of thing. They were able to bring back to their community. Increased impact on health services, they did notice that, and that was physical and mental health services and local emergency department at their hospitals. But they created a marijuana council to help recognize, mitigate, and deal with any issues from that, which is probably a good thing to bring people together to actually deal with what's happening in the community. As for a region of Queens, and all municipalities, as an employer, most drug plans will not cover non-DIN drugs, which is one drugs that don't have a drug identification number. employee policies, as deals with drug alcohol use in the workplace, marijuana use and effects on job safety and effectiveness, absenteeism, workplace safety, and policing are some of the issues for employers that they'll have to deal with. As a municipality, increased cost of policing, there'll be a huge cost to RCMP depending on how they deal with enforcement of impaired driving and how they deal with that kind of thing. There are kits to deal with that, but they're very expensive. So where that funding will come from and whether we pass on to municipalities, because RCMP will cost more police legalization of cannabis. Our own bylaw enforcement, effects on health of the community, impact on healthcare services, business licensing, municipal planning strategy considerations, which are zoning, public consumption, and personal cultivation, funding for all of this extra activity, tools and training for municipal staff to deal with these things, and and administration of policies as a municipality are all considerations as well. At the end of the symposium, everyone was asked to put forward what they would need and where they would like to see information and how they would like to deal with this. So what I submitted was the key strategy for municipalities should be to prepare to be ready with review of the municipal planning strategies, current municipal policies and bylaws, so that we are in a position to ask the right questions and advocate when provincial legislation is presented. What municipalities need to do, ensure we are connected and aligned with the Department of Municipal Affairs and the Union of Nova Scotia Municipalities, and that we have a voice when provincial legislation is being created. Municipal supports requested are a be prepared list from the Department of Municipal Affairs, a framework as to how federal and provincial legislation will unfold, forums for municipalities to have regular input to help shape the legislation, and dedicated two-way communication stream to keep municipalities involved. So that's what I put forward. And the UNSM symposium presentations are available we can maybe put this online as well. I gave this information to Shelley. There's a link to where all these presentations are available if anybody wants to read through them and get that information.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Any councillors have questions or comments? Excellent, thank you. We will move on to 15.2, Social Regional Library, an update, Councillor Crowley.
So as you may or may not be aware, I sit on the board for the Library Council as the councillor liaison. One of the things that we talked about, one of the early surprises was, when I first met with them, was their 10-year strategic goals and their plan, and the strategy, basically. So what I'd like to do today is just extend that invitation to Troy Myers to come before council, hopefully in August 8th, to present their strategic plan, because it's at the point where we need to start talking about our future plans for our library. We need to make sure that our strategy lines up with their strategy. And as we saw in many cases this morning, partnerships, we need to create the right partnerships moving forward with the library. So by having Troy come in, present the strategy, I think that will start the ball rolling and conversations about what we're looking for, what our needs are for the library of the future, and to make sure that it lasts longer than the previous library did, and that it's something we can be very proud of and something that is relevant in 2017. Halifax Library has set the bar very high on what libraries mean to communities now, and I think we should be following that lead and looking at every possibility. And I don't think there's any limits to what we could do if we are part of that conversation. So Eric Potty is sitting in the gallery, I believe, still, yes. And much like Kedgy, when I visited the library, I was amazed at the things they created. A lot of us think libraries are still a place where you go simply to pick up a book and it's very quiet. It's no longer that. It's a very active hub, and hub being the key word. So it needs to be the hub of our town. So all the conversations that we have should all coincide, and our strategies should all work together. So with that, I'm going to invite Councilor Lemaire to extend the invitation to Troy Myers, and let's get the ball rolling.
Thank you, Councilor Prevett. Any questions or comments of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Thank you, Brian, Councilor Kelly, for your report. And I also had been on the library board for many, many years as a councilor, and also as an individual person very interested in the program and I have to commend Eric, who is here in the gallery. He's done an amazing job of promoting the programs here at the T.H. Waddell Library. He has a weekly entry into the AdVans, and he's going to be on QCCR doing some things. And it is, as Brian indicated, much more than books. We know that. It's got a very valuable programs for young people, for seniors. It's into the technology now. So anyone can learn just about anything by approaching the library, and they're very willing to be open to any suggestions. And we might be able to have that partnership between our recreation department and our local library as well, because I know years ago we used to have these programs in the summertime that were not well attended in the individual communities. But if we could work out something in cooperation with the local library, we might be able to have something for the youth who are out of school during that time. So that would be something that hopefully we could discuss.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councilor Fisk.
Councilor Fisk, I really appreciate the verbal report. It looks like you've got a handle on things, and things are moving forward. It's very important that that we see that and that vision, and you have the right vision. So thank you for the report.
Yeah, I just add something.
Yep.
I know in the past there had been many discussions and open sessions on a location of a possible new library, and I know that we have extended the lease at the Rosignol Cultural Center for the year, and that'll give us time to really look at the situation, what are the needs of the library, but specifically what are the needs of the community and how this library fits into our community and how we can work with that. So I hope that we can get all those discussions ongoing and we'll take a real positive input and initiative into doing that. And I know there's lots of locations around the area that might qualify. We want to make it accessible to everybody, not only accessibility for mobility, but accessibility for driving and that sort of thing, transportation. So I hope that we can take a real serious look at that in the future.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Any other councilors? Excellent. We will take your advice. Councilor Fellick, we'll connect and see if we can have a presentation arranged. Thank you. Moving on now to 15.3. Veterans exempt parking recommendation. Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead? 15.3.
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality request a staff report on the viability of allowing vehicles displaying the veterans license plate to be exempt from municipal parking meter fees.
Seconded by Councilor Kelly. Councilor Kelly, would you like to speak on this?
Well, it's very simple. Was a request from Murray Krause as a member in, of the Legion, Royal Canadian Legion here in town, and based on what they heard was going on in Bridgewater, who did something, well, exactly the same thing, I do believe. I don't know all the ins and outs of that one, but he'd asked me, so I brought that forward and said, yes, we could consider that. So this is what this is all about today.
Thank you. Any councillors have any comments or questions? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I feel it's an excellent suggestion, and I certainly would support anything that happens to be a benefit of our veterans. And if this is one way the municipality can do that, I think it should be a really positive outcome.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Crowley?
I have a question about the word viability. Not us as a community showing respect for individuals who have served. I'm not sure the viability, how that factors in. Is it a combination of viability versus recognition?
I'm reading that motion on the basis that it's a staff report, which will include a number of issues, not specifically one. So I'm not seeing that as significant in the motion other than staff report.
I would like to see that as a very small portion of that motion, because viability is almost irrelevant in this case.
So noted. Any other councillors? Are we ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We will now be moving into 16.0 in camera items. A motion to move in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Muse. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those